You're listening to a Dallas Sports Nation production, enhancing your sports fan experience.
And now here comes Sagan with speed. Drop. Radulov. Across. Lindbergh shoots. He scores.
We won't stop fighting until we win. We won't stop fighting until we win.
Everyone stand up again.
Cause this is. Welcome to Chirps and Sellies, presented by Stars Nation and Dallas Sports Nation, enhancing your Dallas sports fan experience. I am Craig Nakagai, joined by Lane Johnson and Amy Warner. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Good. How are you?
Well, you know, hanging in there, keeping busy, trying to not lose my mind.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
So the usual these days, the new normal.
Basically, you know, the current reality. So, first topic we'll get into today is going to be the NHL is still, you know, discussing what they're going to do with the regular season, whether they're going to continue it or not, and if they do or don't, how they're going to handle the playoffs. They said that they're considering all options still, so they really haven't agreed on anything since the last time they came out with a statement, which isn't surprising, but hey, it is what it is. So what do y'all think about the idea of games? Playoff games specifically being played without any fans in attendance.
Personally, if they can do it, I think it would be awesome just because that would put more eye screens to watch the games because obviously nobody would be there to watch it, but that would boost the numbers. Now for the playoff, well, that would go over because, I mean, to get momentum and energy from the fans. So if they're down a goal, there's no chance it can be done basically to get them pumped back up. So that's the main negative, I think, from the player's perspective.
Yeah, definitely. You're definitely not getting that extra surge of a second source of energy that's available from anyone. You're it. You and your teammates are it. And that there's no outside source to give you a boost.
Yeah, but if it comes down to it, you know, and there's no other choice, I think it's better than doing that. But the playoffs build so much energy for the sport, for, you know, fans, for players. It's really strange to think of it being the games being played in an empty arena with no one there and no sound at all. And, you know, you do have to think that in some way it's going to affect how the players are playing. Because you hear them talk so much about how they feed off of it. So it would be very strange. But I think, you know, when it comes down to it, it's better than nothing.
Sure. So I wrote about this yesterday. And I kind of presented both sides of the argument. Looking at, you know, arguments for and arguments against it. And I definitely put, for arguments against it, the fact that no crowd noise and no fans being there kind of cheapens the product a little bit. Because there's no one there to actually see the game.
Yeah.
You know, and like there's no it just feels like there's not, it doesn't feel like it's an actual professional sporting event. It feels like it might be like a preseason game or something.
Like a practice or sort of scrimmage kind of thing.
But I saw someone post this on Twitter that was a very good point. I think it was David Gardner. I can't remember who exactly, but he asked the question, if you're going to play games, the only realistically safe way to do it is if you're testing everyone who's involved, players, staff, coaches, the game officials, anyone who's actually working the game, you're going to have to test them before every game, essentially. Otherwise, you're putting people at a lot of exposure and risk. The downside of having to do that is that people are going to get mad. The general public is going to be outraged by that. Because it's like, well, why are these millionaires getting tests, but I can't? You know what I mean? It sends a bad message of that we're prioritizing athletes over everyday individuals. I don't have a rebuttal to that. I don't know how you can counteract that argument because it's a fair point and people would be justifiably outraged.
I think sports fans might be okay with it just because we really want our sports back.
Absolutely.
But I think the people who don't have the same passion for sports that maybe we do would be the ones who would be, it would irritate them definitely more.
100%. And that's kind of the people that I would, the league would kind of have to worry about. I mean, now you could argue, well, I mean, if they don't watch hockey now, they're not going to watch hockey ever, so whatever the league does, they're not, it doesn't really affect them because it's not affecting their bottom line at all.
Yeah.
But it would just be another PR black eye on the league that already has a ton of PR black eyes, in my opinion. You know what I mean? So it just feels like that's a really compelling argument. But I think the other compelling argument that has to be made is that if you get sports back playing, even if there are no fans, which, okay, there's no fans, fine, but at least you're giving people a job and you're helping save some jobs potentially. Because, I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't seen any media outlets kind of cutting jobs from, like, sports. Maybe they are and I'm just not hearing about it. But you kind of feel like that's coming, certainly. To where people in the sports industry are going to start losing their jobs, which is already a hard enough industry.
Yeah.
On a larger scale.
Yeah.
So, at least if there's games again, you're helping keep and save those jobs. And then, obviously, you're going to need people to actually help set up the games, work the games, like, maintain the ice, you know, the glass, maintenance crews, all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's give and take. You have public outrage, but you also have the ability to help people have jobs and keep their jobs. So, I mean,
part of me is thinking it's a double-edged sword, because, like, you're helping some people, but then, like, you brought up the point about the rich people getting tested when regular people aren't. I mean, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, or you can't really do right and wrong at the same time.
Right. You're going to make somebody mad. You just have to pick people to make mad.
And it would have to be every single person, every single game.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people. It's not just the players. There's a lot of people involved in the production of a sporting event.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main thing that would give me pause. But I think the idea that it would be a signal of some return of normalcy for people, and that it's like, oh, hey, there's something that I can feel good about again. It might give them that positive energy and boost that they need. But at the same time, then I also kind of worry about, and playing devil's advocate against that myself, that do people really need to feel that normalcy? Or are people going to be like, oh, it's fine now. Sports is back. I can go out and do whatever the heck I want again. I mean, some people are doing that now, but you have to worry if that would happen on a larger scale whatsoever. You know what I mean? That's my only concern.
If you just, like, close your eyes and picture a playoff game going on and seeing not a single person in the stands, that doesn't feel normal. I think it's still going to be outside of normal enough to where it's not kind of a permission to free reign, go out and just start living life normal again.
Right.
Because that's going to be a really weird... I can't even imagine it. Can you?
To me, I don't think there's going to be a back to normal. It's going to be more of a new normal.
A new normal, but, yeah.
Because obviously the virus, but, I mean, people are going to be nervous to some extent about going all these different places where they once went, and the virus could be where they went, and you wouldn't know it until later on. It's going to be something that we're all going to have to get used to for sure. I don't know how we're going to do it. We have to work out somehow.
Yeah.
Like we talked about last week, it's definitely going to be a weird world when we ever do get back to quote-unquote normal, because I don't know. I mean, because you always have that fear of, well, could this happen again? So then you're going to have, is everyone going to be in the precautionary mindset for a while? Like, how long is this actually going to last for people?
Yeah.
That's what I'm really interested in, psychology of people after this. How, it's always interesting, like, how people are acting during, but it's always more interesting how they act after it. And seeing if people, like, is this going to be a major thing that people are still thinking about 10 years down the line, or is it going to be something that's going to fade out after a year?
Like other pandemics have happened, so.
I don't know. Because some things we don't worry about anymore because we've developed vaccines for it.
Yeah.
But some things we don't have vaccines for, but it's not really, it's not prevalent enough to be worried about, that people really worry about it in their everyday lives.
Sure.
I don't know which one this is going to be. I kind of almost feel like somebody, I read an article yesterday, I don't remember from where, but somebody said something, brought up the notion that this might just be a seasonal thing every year. It's like, God, please. No.
I mean, I don't think that's a fair assessment. It's not the flu. Like, I feel like that's the type of person who says, oh, it's just a flu. Who cares? And, you know, tries to poo-poo that this isn't a big deal when it actually is, because millions of people have died, and if it was just the flu, then there would be nothing. This wouldn't be that big of a deal. But, you know, you have your conspiracy people out there who want to believe what they believe, so that's what happened.
I mean, well, I think in this case, I think hopefully we'll have a vaccine for it. So.
I mean, Canada's been working on a round clock, I'm sure, after they made some progress. So hopefully something is coming soon. But I mean, with everything like these, you have to wonder, are there going to be mutations? Like, there's so much we don't actually know that it's like, is it going to be a one-shot kill with a vaccine? Or are there different mutations where we're going to have like 7 vaccines?
Yeah. This is tying into the whole playoff hockey with no fans and the virus. But I believe it was yesterday or Tuesday that the 3rd Colorado Avalanche player tested positive.
Yep.
Interesting to see if more players obviously contract it. But if more players contract it, then, I mean, the whole... Even playing without no fans.
Probably. Yeah, because especially from the Stars, and I've seen that the team that I'm playing in the first round has had 3 players contract it. I'm not sure I really want to go against them, you know? Because it's like, that's super dangerous, and I don't want to put my family or my friends at risk by being exposed to that. So,
right.
I mean.
Well, the real problem is you would have to think with the timing that it was the player came down with it after the quarantine already started.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the whole point of telling the players, hey, stay put, quarantine yourself, so they could get back on the ice as soon as possible. Well, if that's not working across the board, they're not going to be able to get back out on the ice and even practice.
If they did the whole playoff thing, I feel like they'd have to practice for a week or two to even be somewhat ready.
Oh, yeah, at least 2 to 3 weeks.
I'd say 3 weeks. That's the barometer, I would say, for them to get ready and be in skating shape. Because, I mean, not everyone is able to stay in shape right now. I mean, not all these players are in places where they can have all this workout equipment and they can do the exercises they need to be ready to play hockey, especially playoff hockey.
Right.
And the other thing is, can you, even with 3 weeks, to build up to the playoffs at that level of intensity, you have 82 games plus to kind of get ready for that. So it's like, is 3 weeks even enough? Are you going to have preseason games involved in that? Like, it would take a lot of planning, and I don't know if the league is, I don't trust the league to be able to capable to do it with player safety in mind, given the fact they don't care about player safety, as evidenced by everything. So, I would worry about them rushing it too fast, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't trust Bettman, I don't trust the player safety, I don't trust any of the league to care enough about the players. I mean, they obviously don't. They care about their bottom line and their pocketbooks. That's all they care about.
Could y'all see the NHL doing something similar to what the NBA is doing with Horse?
I would like to say that I could, but that requires personality and interest and, you know, them actually doing something. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that would be like an all-star style event.
Is it going to be, okay, how is the NBA one set up?
It's going to be on TV.
But is
they're going to have like ESPN cameras in their house.
Is it each team against the other teams, or just players against players?
It's just different players throughout the league.
I think we have enough personality to do that in hockey. And you've seen more of it coming out, like on TikTok and stuff right now. Some of the players are really coming out and putting some effort into keeping us entertained. So I think we could get enough together to do that if somebody would spearhead it.
Right, and that's part of the problem, is I don't know who's going to be the one who steps up and is willing to lead the charge and do getting us organized. And also, what exactly are you going to do? Are you going to have, like, a skills competition where you have players shoot at a net, like, and you have, like, bottles set up, like, in that one commercial for Pink Whitney or whatever it is, where they're, like, shooting at the targets, like, something they do at the All-Star game? Like, what exactly can you do that's related to horse with hockey?
Yeah.
What is the hockey version of horse? I mean,
crazy shots, I guess.
Yeah, trick shots.
I mean, unless I can have Andre Speck, I can't say his last name, do his lacrosse goal and have everyone try and imitate that or do things like that, I don't know how interesting it could be, honestly. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It'd be like watching warm-ups to me, essentially. Honestly.
No, warm-ups are really boring. they can make it more exciting than that. I'm down there every game taking pictures of warm-ups, and it's not exciting at all until they all try to score on the goalie at the same time.
I mean, that's the parts that are most interesting, when there's other people around them that are actually challenged. Otherwise, it's just one remote. I don't see it happening. If it happens, great. I'm probably honestly not going to watch, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to watch that quickly.
Even if that was the only hockey until next year?
Honestly, no. I'm not going to. I don't have any interest. It doesn't seem like it'd be something that the league would pull off or be interesting.
You can't take that out of it if it does happen.
I'm not going to watch. I don't care. I will go until October without hockey. I'm fine with that.
I would watch, for sure.
I would probably watch.
Yeah, there's got to be a way that they can make it fun and interesting. There are a few people, yeah, personalities, just you can have the Colorado Avalanche spearhead.
I mean, there probably is ways to do it, but I don't think that anyone in the league is willing to spearhead it. I mean, it's going to basically be an All-Star game, essentially, or some sort of skills competition or something like that. And I'm just like, it's not really hot. I have other things I can do to fill my time. Now, I mean, I understand. I'm not going to defame anyone who wants to watch it, because if you don't have anything better to do, that's fine. I mean,
doing right now that would be better?
I mean, I'm also still coming from a very specific viewpoint. So, I mean, like, I feel like the fact that this is happening and I happen to be unemployed at the same time, it's like, all right, that's fine, because otherwise I'd be sad about not being able to go to hockey games because I don't have any excess money to go to hockey games. So, I mean, I found other ways to fill my time, so I'm just like, I'm fine. But if you don't have ways to fill your time, then I can understand why you would want to watch, because you just want something to fill your time. But yeah. I mean, I've rediscovered things that I'm like, oh, I haven't done that in a while, or I haven't played this game yet. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can play this. That's just where I'm at. We can do it, make it seem interesting. Great.
And you watch it, that's true about it.
I promise you I won't. If it happens, I will be surprised. I mean, I don't know. It feels like they'd be trying to compete with the NBA, and that's not something the NHL is equipped to do, just because they're just flat out not as good at their jobs as the NBA is. I don't think basketball is more interesting than hockey by any means, but I think the NBA is probably one of the best run leagues in the world, just because Adam Silver knows what he's doing. Those people know what they're doing, while Gary Bettman doesn't know what he's doing. That's just how I view it, but if they can pull it off and do something interesting for the fans, fantastic. But I don't know. I don't see it happening.
Let's talk about something more fun. Lane, why don't we talk about your Lane?
Yeah, man, sorry.
Sorry, I said let's talk about something more fun.
Oh.
Lane, let's talk about jerseys.
Yeah, apparently the post that I own up more than I thought.
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild fans have unfortunately found it, and their salty little brothers who continually are complaining. So, because the North Stars belong to Dallas, get over it, Minnesota. You can at me if you disagree. I don't care. I will fight and argue with all of you Minnesota Wild fans on Twitter every day, all day, because you're wrong.
Well, not only those jerseys, but there are a lot of people that dislike the Mooters jersey, but there's also people that like it, too. So it's kind of interesting to see the back and forth with that.
I mean, I think the consensus with the Mooters jersey for the people who don't like it, though, is the fact that it has red. If it didn't have red, I don't know that they have a problem. I really truly believe that. Like, if they did, like, I don't know, green, yellow, black, anything besides red, it probably wouldn't get as much.
I've noticed that a lot of people like the jersey number 11, which is the green and black jersey with the old Stars logo.
Isn't that from the 99 Cup season?
Yeah, 98 to 99.
That's 100. That's my personal favorite.
Yeah, I like that one.
I like that one and the white and black one with the green star.
Uh huh.
As well as obviously the new jerseys, but I still think the D with the star is kind of a little bit weird. But
the D with the star. Which number is that?
The new jerseys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the new jerseys. I mean, it's not my favorite. I love 11 on that list. The tweet is the pin. We'll probably post them on the Sharps and Sellies page, too, so you can also just go straight to that. But the 13, 11, those are my favorites. I personally like the black. I like 10. It may not be my favorite, but I think that it deserves more love than it gets because I think the black is really sharp. And I kind of wish they would do an alternate with black. Or at least incorporate black into it somehow.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see some more creativity and more thought process. And
did they have something. A game this year where they had a throwback jersey other than the Winter Classics? Which that's not really a throwback, but...
No, they don't seem to do retro jerseys for whatever reason, it seems.
You would think that they would have a lot of history, but...
Well, I mean, I am not a fan, so... It seems to me, at least, that for whatever reason, that this organization, as it currently stands, doesn't really like its history for some reason. Like, I mean,
so you won't see the Stars wearing.
Well, not just. I'm not even just talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that Mike Modano willingly chose to go work for the Minnesota Wild instead of staying with the Stars. And it's like, well, that's a choice. Why did that happen? And, I mean, I was of the opinion of that, you know, all right, Madonna was a jerk. That's great. Whatever. Don't like him anymore. Don't respect him as much. My friend Andrew brought up a fair point, and this could be the case, that, I mean, how connected is this ownership group really with Pat? I mean, yes, you've got Jiří, you've got Zubov. I mean, it improved this year, certainly. With Jiří and with Gary Carbonneau. So I mean, but it's just like I'm still bitter about losing Modano to Minnesota. Cause it's like, really, dude? I understand home state, understands where you first played, but you won a cup in Dallas.
Yeah.
It just still bothers me, and I don't know. And I mean, like I said, I don't know if I should blame Tom or I should blame Mike. I think you could argue it's probably both, but...
Yeah. I'm thinking it could be a lot not, but I don't really... I mean, Fall wasn't in Texas or anything, so it's not like I saw all the interviews as a kid and whatnot. So I don't know how it happened.
I mean, he's never had anything bad to say about Dallas, to my knowledge. But it's still like, you know... It just rubbed me the wrong way. It also rubbed me the wrong way when he went to Detroit. But I don't know how much of that was his fault.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a front office Modano dispute than anything. to be perfect. I'm also trying to remember something from 2009, 2010, so, you know.
Those are your prize goals.
Just like yesterday, so.
What'd you say?
So I have trouble remembering stuff from just yesterday, so.
I mean, that's totally fair. I do, too.
I don't know. I guess, like, once we're not playing for us anymore, I know there's a lot of factors that go in. Them accepting positions in other organizations and stuff. But I don't know. I guess I just don't care where they go after they're not playing anymore. So.
That's fair. I mean, I kind of like the idea of, like, you know, you played here, you're part of this organization, you know, you're here for life, essentially. You're forever, excuse me, ingratiated in the culture and the history of the team. So it's like, okay, you left, now it just feels weird, like, when they're disconnected from the franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that,
but I just... Maybe it's more so that it's Minnesota.
Like I said, I get that he's from there, so...
I'm sure that played a part.
Still,
that probably played a bigger part more than anything, honestly.
I would think so. If you have, you know, ties to a certain area...
I mean, he's, like I said, he's from there, so I can kind of get it, but it's still just... It just gave them more arrogance that they don't deserve, because they're not good fans. And yes, they aren't good fans. I'm sorry, you lost a hockey team. You aren't good fans. Like, they literally left because you didn't support the team. That's on you. Like, and yet your organization, you continually fail to acknowledge that. But it's whatever. It's just like, you're giving them more arrogance that they don't deserve. That's my main issue with it. I mean, he's still the best, arguably the best, if not one of the best Dallas Stars of all time. For sure. That can never be taken away.
So I'm curious, what's the on the Muterist jersey playing in the comments, what was the main reason for them not liking it?
They said they wanted to throw it in a fire, basically.
Is it because there's a uterus on a jersey? Or is it just
apparently they just don't like it. They're like, yeah, throw everything with the motors into a fire and let it burn.
I'm just wondering if there's like a certain groups of people who are like, oh, I love it, I think it's funny, and others that I hate it.
There was a few that said that they hated it so much that they liked it.
Yeah.
And then there's a few on here that are like, I actually like it. And I mean,
I just think it's funny. I like it just because it's fun. Just, like, whoever came up with that design clearly was a man. Or I guess I shouldn't say that, but they clearly were very focused on what they thought it was and didn't take a step back. So,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, one of the replies is because it had red in it.
I did see that one.
And that's because it's like, oh, hey, you're incorporating the color of two of the teams who have very bad histories with your team in the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. It would be like now if the Dallas Stars came out with a jersey that incorporated blue in it. It'd be like, oh, why are you incorporating part of the Blues colors into our jersey? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd probably jump on that pretty quick.
But a lot of people liked 10 and 11. I think 3, 10, and 11 were talked about. And obviously 13, and people wish there was a the winter class.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the road whites, too. 3, 4, and 5 are definitely solid. Like, those are...
If I'd pick out of those three, I'd pick 4.
I like 3, 4. Definitely like
3.
I don't think there's a bad jersey on that list. No. I mean, if you want to argue the meter assurancy, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean,
I think 9's a little bit odd because it's like got green, yellow, and black. But like the lines, the jersey stripe.
I mean, the yellow is a little bit bright. It's a little bit too. It's not enough gold. It's not gold. If it was gold, it'd be better.
Yeah. It's almost like it needs to be in between the two other colors, like in three, or the yellow, between the green and the black.
Yeah. I mean, if we're nitpicking, that's probably the one thing I would change. I would change the yellow to a little more of a gold color, because that was more of the North Star's color. It wasn't that bright yellow. It was more gold. But, I mean, that's kind of nitpicking to me. I mean, you could search a lot worse.
If they would even use one of these jerseys in an actual game, I think it'd be good.
I mean, I really
want to throwbacks.
I'd really love for them to use a North Star jersey just to really make Minnesota Wild fans mad. That would make me so happy. Nothing would.
Funny because I can go on NHL 19 or 20 and easily select a North Star jersey for Dallas and play. And I was just laughing at all the comments, basically saying that the Wild still own the jersey.
No, you don't. You're wrong, Minnesota. Again.
But how about those pesky players, Amy?
Pesky players. Yes. I posted out pesky players asking who everyone thought the pestiest was. And I'm pretty sure Sean Avery won that. And the general consensus was he's got a rule named after him. So how could it not be him? Which, in case anybody is not familiar with the Sean Avery rule, during the 2008 playoffs, he decided to get in the goalie space, it was Martin Brodeur, and faced him. He turned his back to the play, actually faced the goalie, and was just all on his face with his stick and hands and just everywhere. And the next day, the NHL came out with a new rule, basically redefining that was now included. So he has a long history of unsportsmanship like behavior. He was actually a star for a hot minute there in the 2008-2009 season. So we do have a little bit of a history with him. Y'all think anybody else?
What about PK Subban?
I know he does not get a lot of love from a lot of.
I mean,
I feel like he does.
I'm sure he reached. Go ahead.
What, Craig?
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, I know he can be really annoying on the ice to the players and stuff, and a lot of the fans don't like him because of that. But I actually really like PK. As a person, from what I see on social media, I don't know him personally, of course, but just, it seems like his intentions are always good, it seems like. Off the ice. On the ice, he is probably trying to be a pest.
PK is definitely one of the people who I put as the, he is a great human being, but I despise player with all of my fiber. So I don't like him as a player. I respect the heck out of him as a human being. He is a top-tier human being, for certain. But as a player, I hate him. But you know what? I'm pretty sure he'd actually appreciate finally actually winning something. So give him the award.
Yeah, he probably thinks if that's the case, then he's doing his job well, you know?
Well, I mean, that's a fair argument. If people think you're a pest, then you're kind of doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I refuse to give Sean Avery any recognition over anything. I don't care what it is, unless it's to be a scum, unless it's the scummiest human being on the face of the planet.
Yeah,
I don't that
not
man.
Not to be a strong enough word for him.
And I feel like giving someone the title of peskiest player is, it can be kind of a badge of honor. It can kind of be a recognition of doing your role, like we talked just about with TK. He could view that as a good thing.
Right.
I'm with Steve Ott because Steve Ott is amazing, and I love Steve Ott. And I love Steve Ott even though he's the assistant head coach for the Blues. So if I still love you despite you working for that organization, yeah, you're winning some awards with me. And I still want Steve Ott to get into a coach's fight. And I will keep saying it until it finally happens.
You know, a lot of people mentioned him in the comments. So I don't know. The Blues thing gets me every time. Yesterday was torturous because It was yesterday, right, that they did their team Zoom meeting, and it's commented on like every 5 seconds by every outlet, and it was just, I didn't want to be on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to shut off my phone after I kept getting those notifications about the charity fix. Like, yeah, it's time to put the phone down.
Yeah. Okay, so what do y'all think about Brad Marchand, though?
I think he's a rat. I think that he's annoying. Is he a pest? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a weird guy. Because it's just like you lick people sometimes.
I feel like if there's going to be a rule, there should be a rule like don't lick other players.
Yeah, I mean.
It's just weird.
It is. I respect him for going that extra mile and, you know, getting under someone's skin like that. But it's like, man, that's weird.
I don't know. I think that's just. It's a step too far. I mean, you saw, who was it that got in trouble for spitting on someone?
Tom Wilson? I just assume it's Tom Wilson.
No, it wasn't Tom. Oh my gosh, it was such a big deal, and I can't remember who it was now. But, you know, everybody just went crazy about that. And it's like, how is that worse than, like, being licked?
I would argue that spitting's probably worse than being licked.
I mean,
it's still pretty bad.
Splitting hairs. So,
disrespect in a disrespect kind of way. I mean, to me, the licking thing is just, it's way weirder than spitting on someone, because that's just like a disrespect. Kind of slap in the face kind of thing.
It was Garnett Hathaway.
Yes, it was Mr. Hathaway. That's right.
Yeah, but he spit on a Ducks player. I can forgive him for that. I'm not sorry, Anaheim. You broke my heart too many times. Too many playoff runs. John Sebastian Giguere, I'm looking at you. I still remember you from 2003. I'm a very petty individual when it comes to my playoff hockey heartbreak. That's definitely one of the ones that hurt the most, losing in overtime, 5 overtimes to the Ducks. I think that's probably the end of that 90s Stars Cup run, chances really too, unfortunately. I don't know. I'm going with Steve Ott for peskiest player. Who'd you pick, Lane?
PK Subban.
PK Subban. I can't argue with that. I mean, especially, I'm sure Jamie would pick PK all day, every day as well. He's just annoying. Like I said, great human being, but just super, super annoying. I was talking about the Ducks and how I still hate them.
About who?
The Ducks.
Why do you hate them?
Because of 2003 and 2004 and, was it 2008? Yeah, it was 2008. We got knocked out by the Anaheim Ducks both times. 2003, we lost in 5 overtimes in game 1 to John Sebastian Giguere. We lost 4-3 in 5 overtimes, and it still haunts me to this day. And then we lost to them. No, actually, we beat them in 08. Never mind. 08 was a good year, because we beat them 4-2. We beat John Sebastian Giguere. Yeah, I still don't like him. It's nothing personal. I just don't like him because he beat us.
Fair. I mean, I'll always feel that way about the Blues, so.
Yeah, I think everybody will.
I see, that's why I kind of wish the Winter Classic had been Stars versus Blues, because I feel like that's a better rivalry than Stars versus Predators.
I think a few years back, the Predators was a better rivalry, but over the last Stars and Blues.
Yeah, I mean, we have a rivalry with the Preds from the standpoint of that they're crybabies and they keep complaining about things and being hypocrites, but, you know, that's really about it. I think with PK gone, the rivalry's kind of taken a little bit of a south turn.
Yeah.
Because that Jamie-PK rivalry is so freaking real, it's amazing. I love, love, love that so much.
Do you think, though, if we had played the Blues at the Winter Classic, it could have tainted the experience?
You mean because we would have lost?
Well, no, I'm not saying we would have definitely, like, lost or anything, but if we had lost, why do you say that? We've beat them before.
Because it's very simple. Because the Blues, for whatever reason, are the dominant child of the NHL right now. Because they've gone, I don't even know what the statistic is anymore. It's been like 5 games where they haven't gotten a penalty called on them. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that I don't like the coaching staff cannot seemingly figure out how to actually play well against them and get anything done against them. And they keep letting Colton Parayko score. Like, I don't believe we would have beaten them in the last season. Once this season?
No, I think no matter the outcome, I think it would have been all of the hype would have surrounded.
That's a fair point.
And Dallas would have lost out on a lot of advertising for, hey, we have hockey here, you know?
Sure.
So I'm kind of glad we didn't play them.
I mean, I get why they picked Nashville, because it was kind of, because they predicted that we were going to probably play in the first round of the playoffs and meet in the playoffs last year. So they could build off of that momentum. It's 2 non-traditional markets. So, I mean, it made sense. I was just, you know, from a selfish point of view, it would have been kind of, the better rivalry to me is Blues versus Stars.
Definitely a more intense rivalry.
Yeah, no doubt.
I get why the NHL picked Nashville, and I don't have an issue with them picking Nashville. It's not that. It's just, at the time, like, when they first announced it, I thought Blues versus Stars would have been a more interesting pick. But given how the playoffs played out last year, it's probably for the best they didn't do that. So, because, like you said, it would have been, oh, the Stanley Cup, defending Stanley Cup champions, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. They should have won the cup.
And we were one shot away from winning it, from winning that series.
What'd you say?
I said,
Oh, what did he say?
Oh, Lane, repeat it.
Oh, I said we were one shot away from winning that series.
I mean, I would argue we were one blatant interference call away from winning that series, because I'm sorry, Zuccarello was clearly interfered with in front of the net from the blatant textbook definition of the rule. Like, he's standing in front of the net without the puck. You can't shove a guy, cross-check a guy in the back and not call something. But hey, you know what? I guess, you know, the league obviously loves Dallas so much, right, Claude? Huh? Claude Julien of the Montreal Canadiens?
That game still produces so much stress and anxiety in me, just thinking back to that whole series of games with the Blues. It's just,
my best friend's the Blues fan. So I feel you. I still have a bunch of his tweets.
Yes, Craig. Craig, let's discuss your Blues friends.
You know that picture was photoshopped that he sent, right?
No. There is a picture of Craig floating around out there in a St. Louis Blues hat.
Yeah, that's photoshopped.
And I saw it and I was so...
He photoshopped that. Didn't do a great job, but he photoshopped.
I'm going to ask you now and tell him that you're claiming it's photoshopped and see what he says.
I mean, I have text messages from him saying that he photoshopped it. So,
because I was like, Craig would never, him sitting in a Blues hat. I'm like, oh my God, what happened?
The only way I would ever put on a Blues hat, actually, there's 2 ways I will put on a Blues hat. 1, if I lose a bet, because I'm a man of my word. 2, if I had to make some devil deal to where I have to say something nice about the Blues or wear some sort of Blues memorabilia in order to have something good happen for the Stars. Only 2 ways that happens.
Only 2 ways. Oh, man. I was so shocked.
Okay, actually, I'm not lying. I have a 3rd one. If my friend wants to take a stupid picture and wants to see me make an angry face, because he did that to me with Crabtree, a Crabtree shirt, because I'm a Texas fan, or was a Texas fan. And I still have very much PTSD from 2008 and Crabtree breaking away and scoring a touchdown on us when we were the number 1 team in the country. But that was 12 years ago, and I should probably move on. And this is hockey. So, I mean, I don't forget things. I mean, I still, like I said, I still remember the playoff loss from 2003. I remember my traumatic sports experiences, and they stick with me, especially if my team has not won a championship since then. And the Stars have still yet to lift the cup again since 99. we needed to happen again.
I was really excited. I was so excited about it this year. I just couldn't wait. I was ready. I was prepared. And then now this, and it's just... So Mike Heike came out with an article on the 6th. Did y'all see it?
I don't follow Heike anymore personally because he made me mad. So
about what?
I respect Heike as a person, but I don't agree with his. I don't always agree with what he posts in his articles, especially when I feel like they're purposefully condescending towards fans. So, about calling out the coaching staff.
Coaching, yeah.
Like I said, I don't forget things, and I don't forget
things. No, you don't. Well, he did this article, Lane, I don't know if you saw it, but he's talking about how the break could be good for the Stars for when the season resumes. It could have been a good break, and I'm like, this isn't a break. Yeah. You know, this wasn't like a week or two break. This is gonna be months, and you know, I know on that it's like, are you still?
Well, I think at the time, like when it first happened,
he just posted this on the sixth, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about.
I just think about
not having sports until
August. Right. And I'm just, I think a break can be good. You know, when we have the All-Star break and such, they can kind of get their heads back together. But at this point, it's going to be like, you think it's going to be, if we do start back up at some point, which I'm highly doubtful of, it's going to be more like a beginning to a new season, like a little mini season or something.
Yeah.
Like whatever momentum you had built up or wherever you were in your head now, it's not going to really be the same.
I mean, I think the concern would be that I get his point, and if it was a 1 to 2 week hiatus, yes. But
yeah.
I don't know, given the break this team has had and their inability to get off to quick starts in games and falling behind early, I don't know if this team has the mental focus and coaching staff to be able to overcome another team in a playoffs format. They 100% could, but if you told me they were going to lose in the first round, I also would not be shocked.
I guess it all depends on who they'd play in the first round, honestly.
I mean, you're going to be playing the Avalanche, probably.
Yeah.
Most likely.
That brings back to the point about the whole virus thing. Even if they got back to play, you'd probably still be somewhat nervous about playing. Players still had the virus. Right. If he playing them or anybody with the virus.
Right. I mean, we don't know if someone is quote unquote cured.
Yeah.
Then do they have the potential to get it again? Do they have potential? Like, there's so many what ifs. And I know if I was a player, I'd be like, I'm not playing that team. What about your team gives me confidence that you're not going to somehow infect me and put me and my own in danger? And especially since your team already accuses us of cheating, you know, I already don't have much respect for the organization as it is. Just personally, I don't know if I'd want to play them.
And what do you do in La La Land, because I do think this is La La Land at this point, things are going to start back up and we're going to have some sort of season and you're testing everyone before they, so for their 2 or 3 weeks of practice, they've got to be tested before every single practice. And so if a player tests positive for it, then you're going on with your season without players. It would be like an injury, but it's an illness, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was weird that just as of 2 days ago, people are still saying this could be a good break for us. So it's like, this isn't a break. This is this is deeper than that.
Like what I posted on this morning about it feeling like 2 months since it's been without hot longer. Like whole thing is just drug on. It's
like, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, it feels short-sighted, in my opinion, to say that this could be a good break. I can get what he's coming at, given the fact that they were struggling and playing badly, but
right.
Eventually too much of a break isn't a good thing.
I know. Yeah, you're just starting.
Which is probably the best thing for the league to do, is just scrap them in. If hopefully everything's back to normal in October, and just roll with the 2021 season.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that's what the league's going to do, but I also came around to the idea that, you know, giving people this false hope, what I call false hope because I'm a cynic, may be good for some people and give them something to hold on to, so maybe that's what part of the reason, if I'm being optimistic in a situation from their viewpoint. That's why they are not announcing the cancellation, if they're hoping something changes. I don't think anything's going to change. I don't think they're going to be cleared to play games this year, and I think this season. And I think we're waiting till October.
Yeah, I saw Sunday or Tuesday that said basically, at least in California, they probably won't see sports.
From one person?
Yeah, I saw that too.
Which I don't know if that's going to happen, but I mean, at this point, we really...
I think that's a bit of a...
far-fetched idea at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I think that's... I don't know how much stock I put into that right now, given the fact that, like we've talked about, there's just so much unknown.
Yeah.
I think it... Like, if you want to, like, say, most likely... It won't be Thanksgiving. That's fine. I don't know how much stock I'm actually going to put into your prediction, though.
Yeah.
Be perfectly honest.
What do you think it's going to be like the first time we go back to a hockey game with the whole crowd there, with all the people there, after going through shut down and being told to stay away from everybody? What's that going to be like? People where it'll be nervous to some degree?
I think it depends on how far we are from this. Like, if this is flattened out and we're, you know, able to return to some normalcy by, say, end of July, I think you may see some masks, but not necessarily everybody. I mean, it depends, honestly, when this all wraps up.
I don't know if I'll ever look at a huge crowd the same again, though.
Yeah.
Or it's like be in a huge
crowd. Because, like, I can go to the grocery store right now, and with the CDC basically mandating you wear a mask and you go out in the public. I went to the pharmacy earlier today to get medicine. Like, nearly every pair of Walmart had a C, honestly. Just like going out in everyday life, seeing it much less.
Yeah, the first time I wore one, it was very awkward, and I wanted to take it off. It was very weird. Of course, then you see the people who are wearing it, like, below their mouth. So they can still talk. And it's like, that's the complete opposite of what you want to do. I can still... But, you know, this could be an opportunity for the Stars to a washable face mask with the Stars logo. You know, something fun.
Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet.
I would buy
and wear say, it. You could say that the proceeds or whatever goes to the Dallas Stars Foundation or something.
Right.
That would make sense. I don't know why more teams aren't doing it. I know some fans have made their own, like, Rangers masks and other things like that, who are nurses and healthcare professionals. It seems like a good opportunity to help spread awareness, but, you know, I mean, like I said, the NHL isn't very forward-thinking, unfortunately.
Well, I saw some that the surgical mask, the throwaway surgical mask that they had, and they had donated some, and they all had the AB symbol on one side of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't have that on washable ones, since we're all supposed to be wearing them too.
I mean, the fact the Avalanche have done it doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't be shocked if I heard the Canes have done it either, because they're the two most thinking organizations in the league, and the only ones who seem to be a little more progressive with their thinking from the standpoint of that they're always innovating, while the other teams are just, yeah, you know what, we've always done it this way.
Yeah, they definitely come up with good ways to keep fans entertained and, you know, connected to the
things. Some more organizations could learn a lesson from. But, you know, maybe one day, but I think that would require new ownership, if I'm being honest, which would not break my heart. I would, if you told me today that Tom Gallagardi was selling the team, I'd be like, all right, good. Take Jim Lights with him. That makes me a mistake, but I don't care.
So if y'all had to be quarantined in a house with players and people from the Stars organization, who would it be?
With the Stars?
Yeah. Players, staff members, whatever.
So do you have to take their family, or are you only taking the person?
The person.
It's an important distinction. Ben Bishop. Jason Dickinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dennis Gerionov and Jamie Benn.
Wait, or do we
pick 4 or 5?
4 or 5. Yeah, I'm just thinking people I can have and under, or maybe not. Maybe I want a language. Yeah, I might have to rethink that.
I'd probably go Dobby, Gerionov, and probably Sagan.
Interesting you pick Sagan.
Why?
Just, I hope you have a strong bladder, or not strong liver. That's the one. That's the worst. Hope
you
have
strong. Are you trying to insinuate?
I mean, he just did a beer pong tournament, which he got his butt kicked. So,
you sure that it was beer there?
It probably was beer. Yes.
Probably.
There's probably a reason he played so badly. Besides that, you know, although he did build a net today apparently, and did really well and really quickly, surprisingly. So good for him, but. I mean, I feel like I couldn't be in a house with Tyler. I just feel like I could lose my mind. My fifth is 100% Groobs, because I need music.
Oh, yeah, he would be great. He's really fun to talk to.
Absolutely. He is the best.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this podcast and you have never gotten to talk to Groobs, next time you're at the AAC, go talk to Groobs. It's 109, I believe, right?
Yeah, he's right by my section.
Yeah.
He's, well, I'm in 109, so he's 110.
Okay, it's like right between, yeah. I mean, you have to go talk to him. He is just a really awesome dude, and he has like 10 million jobs, it seems, because it's like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm DJing this game. It's like, what? How? Okay.
Yes,
He's done baseball, he's done basketball, because he's done a Maverick team before, I believe. So, he goes everywhere. It's crazy. I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
More energy than I have, that's for sure. But yeah. He really is, he's fun. Yeah, he would be a good one. That's a good choice. Yeah.
So, I think that's about all the time we have today for this episode of Trumps and Bellies. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe. We are on basically all the platforms, Google Play, Spotify, Anchor, pretty much if there's Apple Music, if it's a place where you can listen to podcasts, this is probably on it. So listen to wherever you like and be sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter. Tell us what you're thinking, what you think about what we said. You can feel free to yell at me about my thoughts. It's ChirpsNCellies. That's an N, the letter N, on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Craig Only Craig. If you want to tell me I'm an idiot, go for it. If y'all want to drop y'all's Twitter handles, because I don't remember y'all's offhand.
I'm sticks_on_the_ice_ and please don't yell at Craig.
Mine is 11.
Yes. Limit all of your yelling to me, because I'm probably the one you want to yell at for my opinions. Because I have controversial opinions sometimes. So come yell at me. Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe. And thanks for listening. Good night.